Amen. So we're there in 2 Timothy chapter 1. And of course, 2 Timothy, we have Paul writing to a young preacher named Timothy. And in this chapter, we see that Paul reminds Timothy and us of his position in the ministry. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, it says, "Warn to notice, I am appointed," in verse 11, it says, "a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." So we have Paul reminding us of his position that Paul was assigned to. He was appointed to be what? To be a preacher. And as you know, Paul was a man who went throughout the world just preaching the gospel, preaching to the people, preaching in the synagogues, just preaching Jesus Christ to people. It says he was an apostle. It says he was a teacher. Of course, he was a man who invested his time trying to help people, teach people, train people for the ministry. And, you know, Paul is a man, when we look at him, he's a man that we would define as a man of God. You know, if you think about the men of God of the Bible, you know, the Apostle Paul is one of the men who stands right up there, who we can look to as what we would call a man of God. And in this chapter, we not just see the position of Paul, but we see the type of life that the Apostle Paul lived. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 8. Notice the type of life that the Apostle Paul lived on this earth. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." And then he says this, he says, "Nor of me." Notice his words. It says, "his prisoner." As you may know, the Apostle Paul was a man who spent time in prison. He was a man who lived a life of bondage. He was beaten. He was chained up. It says, "Nor of me as prisoner." It goes on, notice, "but be thou," notice, "partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." You say, what kind of life did the Apostle Paul live? He lived a life of bondage, imprisonment, and he lived a life of afflictions. He says, "Be thou partaker," notice, "of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God." See, the Apostle Paul was a man who on this earth, you know, he suffered many things. It was a life of affliction. Notice verse number 11 again. "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." Verse 12, notice, "for the which cause." He's saying the reason that it says, "for the which cause I also suffer these things." He's saying the reason that I suffered this life, the reason that I suffered the afflictions, the imprisonment, was because I was appointed a preacher, because I'm an apostle, because I'm a teacher of the Gentiles. See, the Apostle Paul was a man who did mighty works for the Lord, but because he did, he was a man who suffered on this earth. And, you know, while Paul lived a difficult life, you know, Paul was a man who was mightily used by God. You know, you think about the churches that he started just throughout all the regions, preaching the word of God, starting churches, training men for the ministry. You know, part of the reason that you and I get to sit here today in Sacramento, California, is because of the work of the Apostle Paul. And the truth is, you know, men like Paul are extremely rare. You know, men who are willing to live for the Word of God, to preach the Word of God, to teach people the Word of God, it's rare to find a man who will live that life, because along with that appointment, along with that position, there's many trials, there's many troubles, there's afflictions that have come along with that life. Keep placed in 2 Timothy 1. That's our chapter for the day, but go to 1 Corinthians 15, if you would. 1 Corinthians 15. See, the Apostle Paul, a man like him is extremely rare. A man of God who is willing to live that life for the cause of Christ. Finding a man like that is extremely rare. And the Apostle Paul is able to accomplish many great things for the Lord. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, notice verse number 10. Notice what Paul says in verse number 10. He says, "But by the grace of God," he says, "I am what I am." Here we see the humility of the Apostle Paul. It says, "and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain." And then he says this. He says, "but I labored more abundantly than they all." You know, why was it that the Apostle Paul was able to accomplish more, to do more, to get more churches started, to train more men, to preach the word of God, to get more people saved? He says, "because I labored more abundantly than they all." But we see the humility of Paul. He says, "yet not I," notice, "but the grace of God which was with me." See, Paul was a very humble man, but Paul was a very hard-working man. And when you find a man of God like this, who was willing to be a preacher, to be a teacher, realize that along with that position comes a life of suffering, a life of affliction. And we see a man who did so much. Why? Because he was able to work extremely hard. And the truth is, throughout Paul's ministry, there were people who came alongside Paul who helped him accomplish all these great things for God. Go, if you would, to Romans 16. If you would, Romans chapter number 16. You're in 1 Corinthians, just one book back to the book of Romans 16. In Romans 16, we have the Apostle Paul giving a lot of shout-outs, a lot of credits to the people who are willing to come alongside him and help him accomplish these great things for God. Romans 16. And now I just want to highlight a few words that the Apostle Paul highlights. And there's many verses in this chapter that, or many names in this chapter that we can look to. But there's a few descriptions about these people that I want you to see. For example, Romans 16, look at verse number 3. It says, notice, greet Priscilla and Aquila. Then he says, notice, my helpers in Christ Jesus. See, the Apostle Paul said, yeah, I labored. I worked harder than everyone else. But you know what? I had some help. And then here we have two people, Priscilla and Aquila. He says, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse number 6, notice what it says. He said, greet Mary. Notice what Mary did. Notice, who bestowed much labor on us. Here we have a lady, Mary, who worked hard, who labored, notice, for the Apostle Paul. Verse number 7, he says, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, notice, and my fellow prisoners. Here we have two people willing to go into bondage with Paul, willing to be imprisoned with the Apostle Paul. It says, my fellow prisoners who are of note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. Look at verse number 9. Salute Urbane, notice, our helper in Christ, and Stachys, my beloved. Verse number 12, notice what he says. Salute Tryphon and Tryphosa, who labor in the Lord. Salute the beloved Perseus, notice, which labored much in the Lord. And the truth is, the Apostle Paul was a man who, yeah, you know what? He worked harder than anyone else. He accomplished more. He did more, but he was a man who had help. He was a man that where people came alongside him. You see, why was the Apostle Paul able to accomplish much? Yes, because he worked harder than everyone else. But you know what? There were people, thank God, that came alongside him who labored much on him, who helped him, who were an encouragement with him, who stuck by him even when he was in bondage. Go back to 2 Timothy 1, if you would, 2 Timothy 1. You keep your place there in Romans. We'll be in that area again, but go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And, you know, today what we need is people to come alongside men of God. Amen. Because, you know, whether you understand it or not, look, great things are happening today as well. You know, even this weekend, you know, our pastor was preaching in New Jersey. And I don't know how many people were there. I think it was over 100 people who were just there to hear the word of God, to hear the preaching of the word of God. And look, great things are happening. Churches are getting started. People are getting saved every week. But what we need is people to come alongside men of God who are willing to be that support. And in 2 Timothy 1, there's one man that the Apostle Paul highlights in this chapter who I want to look to as an example, because he gives us a description of the type of person that you and I ought to be for our pastor. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 16. He says, notice, the Lord give mercy, notice unto this, unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. See, the Apostle Paul takes time in these last few verses of this chapter to talk about this man, Onesiphorus. And the truth is, while the Apostle Paul, finding a man like that, a man of God like that, is extremely rare, you know, all of us can be like this man, Onesiphorus, somebody who could come alongside the man of God and help him. And this morning, I'm preaching how you, in this church, sitting in this pew, how you can further the cause of Christ by you coming alongside your man of God. And look, if you call this church Verity Baptist Church, like if this is your church, like you should decide, I'm going to come alongside my pastor and help him accomplish great things for God. I may not be the Apostle Paul, but you know what? I can be an Onesiphorus. And there's four things about this man that I want to highlight that you and I ought to do for our man of God. And number one, the first thing I want you to highlight is that we should stand with the man of God. Amen. You should stand with the man of God. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 15. He says this thou knowest, notice, that all they which are in Asia, notice, be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. You know, what a sad statement that the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, all those people who were at one point with me in Asia, all those, notice, they've left me. They've turned away from me. They have abandoned me. But see, the Onesiphorus, he was different. In verse 16, he says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. And notice what it says. It says, and was not ashamed of my chain. You know, sadly, people left the Apostle Paul because they were embarrassed to be associated with the fact that he was in prison. But see, Onesiphorus was different. He was willing to stand with the man of God. And you see, how can I be an encouragement if I just, you know, if I just make this my church? You know, you may not be the preacher. You may not be up here preaching the word of God. But you know what? You can be a blessing by just standing with the man of God and deciding, look, I am not going to quit. I'm not going to be ashamed of the chain. I'm willing to stand with him, and I'm willing to stick with him. Amen. Verse number 7, notice what he says. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And notice what the Apostle Paul is pleading Timothy to do. He says, be not thou therefore ashamed. He says, look, don't be embarrassed to be associated with me. Don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Notice, nor of me, his prisoner. Notice, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. And he tells Timothy, look, be thou a partaker. What's that mean? He said, come alongside me. Come be with me. And look, and this morning, I'm asking you, hey, be alongside your pastor. Come along with him and stick with him and don't quit and just don't be someone who's turned away from him. Decide, I'm going to stick with the man of God. Keep place there in 2 Timothy 1. Go to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. See, you ought to decide this morning not to quit. And sadly, you know, you've heard pastors say this. Go to Mark 8. You've heard a pastor say that sometimes it feels like he's been preaching to several different churches. Why? Because people have come, people have said, this is my church, but then people have turned away. They have decided to quit. But look, that, you ought not to be so. You ought to be someone who says, you know, I'm going to stand with the man of God. But not just that, look, standing with the man of God means you don't be ashamed of the preaching of the word of God. Amen. And like you just decide, look, if it's in the word of God, you know, I love the word of God, nothing shall offend me, I'm just not going to be ashamed. Amen. Mark chapter 8, look verse 38, Mark 8, 38, the Bible says, whosoever therefore, notice what Jesus said, whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me, notice, and of my words, in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. See, Jesus said, look, if you're going to be ashamed of me and of my words, notice, in this adulterous and sinful generation, look, we ought not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, of the entire word of God. Look, all of it's good. And look, and especially in this adulterous and sinful generation, and look, we live in a day when the world wants to make you and I feel ashamed for the word of God. Look, it's true. Even, you know, our pastor's been on national news, and they question him, trying to make him feel guilty, trying to make him feel ashamed, trying to make him apologize for the word of God. But look, there's nothing to apologize for. If it's in the word of God, look, then we love it, we believe it, it's what the Bible says. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But look, even today, pastor friends of ours, the news media is interviewing them, trying to guilt trip them, trying to make them feel ashamed for what they're preaching. But you know what? Thank God for men like our pastor and for these other pastors who are not willing to back down. And look, this morning, I'm not asking you to be on the news, to be the one making the interviews. I'm just asking you, hey, don't be ashamed of the preaching of the word of God. Decide, look, I'm not going to get offended. And, you know, sadly, people do get offended. They leave. They get ashamed. But just decide, look, I'm not going to be ashamed. If it's what the Bible says, then thank God you have a man with some backbone who is willing to preach it unapologetically. Right. So decide, you know what, I am not going to be ashamed of the preaching of the word of God. And look, Onesiphorus, the Bible says that he was not ashamed. He was not embarrassed. He was willing to stand with the man of God. Go back to 2 Timothy 4, if you would, 2 Timothy 4. You see, how do you stand with the man of God? Just decide not to quit. Decide not to be ashamed of the preaching of the word of God. 2 Timothy 4. You say, how else can I stand with the man of God? Well, number, you should decide to be loyal to the man of God. Amen. And look, loyalty is a thing that we're losing in America today, in our nation. Loyalty is going out the window. 2 Timothy 4, look at verse number 16. Notice what it says. Notice what Paul said. He said, at my first answer, notice, no man stood with me. You know, what a sad statement that no man stood with the Apostle Paul at this time. He said, notice, but all men, notice, forsook me. You know, to forsake is to just abandon and to leave. And I'm sure it must have hurt the Apostle Paul inside that there were people who just would not stand with him. And he was all alone. And look, you may not understand this, but look, sometimes in the ministry, you can feel all alone. And it says here that all men, notice, forsook him. People who were once with him, they decided to leave him. You know, what is it? That's just disloyalty. That's just not being loyal. And look, being loyal is a spiritual trait. Look, if you're going to be loyal, you need to be right with God. Because loyalty comes from a walk with the Lord. And I want to give you a picture of loyalty. Go to 1 Samuel 14, if you would. 1 Samuel chapter 14. If you go to the beginning of the Bible, you have Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, a friend of one and two books. You have 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 14. So just decide, look, I'm going to stand with the man of God. Choose not to quit. Choose to be a partaker of the afflictions. Choose to come alongside him. Don't be ashamed of the preaching of the word of God. There's nothing to be ashamed of. But look, decide to be loyal to the man of God. 1 Samuel 14, and in this story, you know, I just want to show you a picture of what loyalty looks like. First Samuel 14, and in this story, we have the nation of Israel fighting against the Philistines. And in verse number 6, notice what it says, 1 Samuel 14, 6. It says, and Jonathan said to the young man that, notice, that bare his armor. He said, come. Notice what he says. He says, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Here we have the leader, Jonathan, telling his follower, the armor bearer, hey, let's go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. Let's go fight with the Philistines. Here we have a leader giving his follower the command. It says, it may be that the Lord will work for us, for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. And here we see a leader going to his follower saying, hey, you know what? Will you come with me? Will you come fight with me in this battle? And notice the response of a good follower, somebody who's loyal. And his armor bearer said unto him, notice what he says. He says, do all that is in thine heart. You know, what a great response. He's saying, you know what? Do what's in your heart. And notice what he says, these next words. He says, notice, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. You know, I like the response from the armor bearer. He tells Jonathan, like, Jonathan, look, do all that's in your heart. And then he says these two words. He said, turn thee. And what's the armor bearer saying there? He said, look, don't worry about me. Look, I'm with you. You know, and what's a God that some followers would tell their leader, look, I'm with you. Do all that is in their heart. Just turn thee. But sadly today, many leaders have to keep looking back at their followers just to see, are they still there? Are they going to be with me? Are they going to stick with this? But no, we should tell our leader, say, you know what? Turn thee. He said, behold, notice these words. It says, notice, I am with thee according to thy heart. Like he's saying, look, don't worry about me. He says, you go ahead. You fight ahead. I'll just follow along. And what's a God, as a church, we could tell our pastor, look, turn thee. Look, behold, I am with thee. Do all that is in thine heart. Why? Because, look, we're fighting the Lord's battles. Amen. And what's a God? Look, loyalty is something that you need in your life. Look, if you're married, you've been called to be loyal to your spouse. If you work at a job, man, you have been called to show all good fidelity, to be loyal to your boss while you're at that job. Amen. Look, loyalty is something that we need in life. And what to God that followers would come alongside to their leaders, say, you know what, turn thee. Stop worrying about me. And you know, look, our pastor shouldn't have to be worried about who's going to be loyal to him or not. Right. It should be, you know what, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Don't worry about me. I'm going to be with you. Amen. And this is what happens in verse number 12. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto his armor bearer, notice what he says. He says, come up. Notice his words. He said, after me. For the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. Verse 13, and Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet. And his armor bearer, notice these words, after him. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer slew. Notice these words again. It says, after him. You see, what is loyalty? Loyalty is when you decide. Why? Because, look, loyalty is a choice. It's a choice that you make. Loyalty is when you decide to come up behind someone and say, you know what, I'm with you. Hey, say, I have your back. I'm coming after you, after him, fighting, doing what you can to be a help to the leader. And when the leader's not there, he shouldn't have to be worried looking back, saying, I wonder if they're going to be loyal. No, turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. And look, in the same way that this armor bearer, he's fighting the Philistines with Jonathan, in the same way, like, you and I are fighting something much greater than our own lives. Right. We're fighting the devil. We're trying to win people to the Lord. We're trying to help your life. We're trying to grow in the Lord. We're trying to be the what Christianity should be in this world. And even Pastor mentioned it on Wednesday night. Look, who in this nation is preaching against the wickedness and the filth in this world if it's not our church? Right. There's nobody doing it. And look, and if we're not going to do it, then who's going to do it? And look, so we're fighting a battle, and all of us as followers, you say, what can I do sitting in this pew? You can decide to be loyal to the man of God and say, you know what, turn thee, look, I'm with thee according to thine heart. I'm going to come up after you and do what I can to help and to support you. And look, true loyalty can only come from a genuine walk with the Lord. Because look, somebody who is disloyal to their boss, it's because there's probably some sin in their life. Disloyal to the spouse, there's some sin in their life. Disloyal to the people around them, to their family. Look, you've been called to be loyal. And then this church said, you know what? I'm going to be loyal to the man of God. And thank God the Apostle Paul is able to accomplish great things for the Lord because he had help like this man Onesiphorus, who while people forsook him, all they was being easier turned away from me. But Onesiphorus, no, he was not ashamed. He was willing to stand with the Apostle Paul. You say, how can I further the cause of Christ by standing with the man of God? Then just decide, I'm going to stand with the man of God. Go back to 2 Timothy 1, if you would. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy 1. So decide, look, I'm going to stand with the man of God. But not only that, number two, you should encourage the man of God. Yeah. Look, you got to decide as a church member to be an encouragement to the man of God. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 16. Notice again what he says. He said, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Notice these few words. He says, for he oft refreshed me. He says, he frequently did what? He refreshed me. You know, what does it mean to refresh? To refresh means to give new strength or energy to reinvigorate. You know, when you're exhausted and you're thirsty, you drink that cup of cold water and you get some energy. You feel refreshed. You feel encouraged to go on. And look, I could imagine for the Apostle Paul being discouraged at imprisoned, hearing about people who were once at one point with him. And he asked, hey, how's brother so-and-so doing? How's sister so-and-so? And then and people telling him, well, you know, brother so-and-so, they've turned away. They have forsaken you. You know, how discouraging could that be? When Paul is alone and in prison, but I'm sure when he asked, hey, how's Onesiphorus doing? The report would have been, you know, he's right there. He's not ashamed. He's still with you. And I could imagine Paul feeling refreshed, feeling reinvigorated, knowing that while Paul's not around, Onesiphorus, he is still faithful to the things of God. And you say, how can you, Verity Baptist Church member, how can I refresh our pastor? How can we be that encouragement? Well, you can refresh your pastor by being faithful when he's not around. You know, sadly, the truth is, when the cat's away, the mice will play. But look, you can refresh your leader by being faithful, by being where you're supposed to be, doing what you're supposed to be doing, staying away from things you shouldn't be around, doing what's right, not only when he's around, but much more when he's not there. And look, when pastor returns from his trip, you know, the report ought to be, you know, pastor, everyone was faithful, everyone was there. And you know, I could just imagine the refreshing, the encouragement, knowing, hey, you know what? Thank God that everyone was still faithful to the things of God, even when he wasn't there. Go to 2 Corinthians 7, if you would, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You see, how can I be an encouragement to the man of God? You can encourage him, you can refresh him by being faithful when he's not around, when he's not there. 2 Corinthians 7. And of course, in Corinthians, you know, Paul had to correct and rebuke the church at Corinth for sin in their life, you know, and Paul didn't know how they were going to take it. But I want you to notice an example of somebody who was refreshed. 2 Corinthians 7, look for number 13, 2 Corinthians 7, 13. Notice what he says. It says, therefore, we were comforted in your comfort. Notice, yea, and exceeding, notice, the more joyed we for the joy of Titus. Notice what happened to Titus. It says, because his spirit was, notice, was refreshed by you all. See, Paul told the church at Corinth, you know, Titus, that he was reinvigorated. He was energized by the church. There you see, why was Titus refreshed by the church at Corinth? Verse 14, for if I have boasted anything to him of you, I am not ashamed. But as we spake all things to you in truth, even so our boasting, which I made before Titus, is found in truth. Verse 15, notice, and his inward affection is more abundant toward you. Notice what happened. It says, whilst he remembereth, notice these words, the obedience of you all. You see, what was the reason for Titus being refreshed, renewed, reinvigorated? It says, because he remembered, notice, the obedience of you all, how with fear and trembling he received him. See, Paul had to correct some things in this church, and he sends a letter rebuking the church people. And look, Paul wasn't there physically, and Paul didn't know how they were going to take it. But Titus goes there, and he was refreshed. Because you know what? They obeyed the word of God. They obeyed the letter. They got right with the Lord, even when Paul wasn't around. Verse 16, notice, I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. You see, how can I refresh my pastor? How can I be an encouragement? It's when you can do right and be faithful when he's not around. Go to Philippians 2, if you would, Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians 2. And we see Onesiphorus was a man who often refreshed Paul. Philippians 2. Philippians 2, look at verse number 12. Philippians 2, 12, the Bible says, wherefore, my beloved, verse 12, notice what it says, as ye have always obeyed, notice what he says, not as in my presence only. And look, this is easy to do. Look, it's easy to act right, to do right, to be faithful, yeah, when the boss is watching you, when the leader's watching you. Look, if the boss goes away to work, or goes away on a trip, look, it's easy for the employees to slack off. When mom and dad aren't around, look, it's easy for kids to not obey. When pastor goes away, it's easy to skip out on soul winning, to skip out on church. But when he's there, he says, not as in my presence only, notice, but now much more. Notice what it says. It says, in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. He said, look, you've obeyed, beloved, not just when I was with you, but look, much more in my absence. And look, this ought to be us. Is that when the boss is not around, look, you obey the boss much more in his absence. Why? Because he should be able to trust you. When the pastor's gone, look, you should obey, you should be faithful, not to the man, but to the things of God, much more when he's not around, much more in his absence. And look, how can you refresh, how can you be an encouragement? You can encourage him by being where you should be, doing what you should be doing, being faithful to what you should be faithful when he's not around. Go to Hebrews 13, if you would, Hebrews chapter 13. You see, why would I do that? Look, our pastor, he's concerned, you know, he cares about, he's invested, he worries about our spiritual well-being. Amen. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 17. It says, notice, obey them that have the rule over you, in verse 17. Notice, and submit yourselves. Notice what it says about these pastors, because in the context, it's talking about a pastor. It says, notice, for they, notice these two words. It says, for they watch for your souls. You know, one of his jobs is to watch for your souls. You know, the phrase watch for means to be on the lookout for, to be on alert for, to be concerned about, to be cared about, to be worried about your spiritual well-being. And look, the truth is, look, it's a sign of spiritual maturity when a church member, when a Christian can do right when the authority's not around. But when the boss is gone, when the pastor is gone, when the authority is gone, and people decide to skip out on church, to skip out on soul winning, just because he's not there, and obviously things come up, but just because, well, if he's not going to be there, then I don't have to go. Look, that is a sign of immaturity. That is a sign that you cannot be trusted just quite yet. You still need somebody constantly watching you. And look, one of the jobs, one of our tasks of our pastor is to be concerned about, to care about, to watch for your soul. So how can you, church member, be an encouragement, bring some refreshment to your leader? You can encourage him, refresh him by just deciding to be faithful much more when he's not around, when he's not there, to the things of God. Why? Because look, he cares about your soul. And look, the Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Amen. Just the testimony of, hey, yeah, look, they were still faithful. And like, how discouraging would it be when a pastor says, hey, how was so, brother so-and-so? Oh, they skipped out. Oh, they weren't there. Because pastor wasn't around. It's like, come on. But no, we should obey much more in his absence. Go back to 2 Timothy 1, if you would, 2 Timothy 1. You see, how can I be an encouragement? How can I further the cause of Christ by standing with the man of God? Number one, you ought to just stand with the man of God. Don't be ashamed of the preaching. Be loyal to the man of God. Don't quit. Number two, you should encourage him, refresh him by being faithful even when he's not around. But number three, you should minister to the man of God. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 18. The Lord grant unto him, Onesiphorus, that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. Notice what he says. And in how many things, it says, he ministered unto me at Ephesus. And one of the things that we see this man, Onesiphorus, do is that he was a man who, notice, who ministered unto the Apostle Paul. And it says, notice, how many things. Meaning it was more than just one way. Look, there's several ways that you can minister to your man of God. And one of the things we see Onesiphorus doing is that he ministered unto Paul. Go through to Philippians 2, through to Philippians chapter number 2. You see, how can I help my man of God? How can I help my pastor? Look, you should minister to him. You should come alongside and serve him. And obviously, look, obviously we come to church and, you know, our pastor and our pastor's wife, they give their lives to minister unto us. But look, you ought to just find ways that you can minister unto them sometimes. Amen. Philippians 2, verse number 25. Philippians 2, 25, the Bible says, notice, yet I suppose it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, notice what it says. It says, and he, notice, that ministered to my wants. You know, my wants is referring to the things that Paul was lacking or that he was deficient in. And we see that this man ministered unto the things that he needed. And look, and it's easy to come to church and just assume that, well, our pastor, they don't need anything. Look, they're there only for me. And look, praise God, they are there for you. They're always there for you. But look, you ought to find ways to minister to their wants, amen, to their needs. Because guess what? Just like you, they're human beings. Go to 2 Corinthians 11 if you would. 2 Corinthians 11. And look, ministering to people is not easy. It's a lot of work to minister, to help people. And it's easy just to assume, well, they're always just going to be there and do what I want. And you know what? They are going to be there. And they are going to try to help you. But look, it comes at a price. It costs something. And look, so how can you be a blessing to your man of God? Like the Apostle Paul, who is doing great things. And look, our church is doing great things for God. How can you be a blessing? Look, you got to find ways, like Onesiphorus, to minister to the man of God. 2 Corinthians 11, look at verse number 27. It says, notice, in weariness and painfulness, in verse 27. This is the part of the ministry that people don't see. It says, in weariness, what is that? That's being tired. In painfulness, going through hard times, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Verse 28, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, notice, the care of all the churches. And then Paul says this. He says, notice, who is weak and I am not weak? In the same way, look, you go through hard times, you get sick, and you know, you get sick and you go through struggles. Things happen in your life that are difficult, and you know, they come alongside us, they pray for something that happens, and praise God for it. But look, in the same way, look, who is weak and I am not weak? While the Apostle Paul was probably the greatest man on earth, the greatest man of God on earth at this time, he's saying, look, I'm weak, just like you. I'm hurting, just like you. I go through hard times, just like you do. It says, notice, who is offended and I burn not? You know, look, they get offended too. Sometimes they burn as well. See, Paul was a man who suffered, who bled, who sweat, who got sick, just like you, just like me. And like our pastor and our pastor's wife, thank God, look, they will gladly spend and be spent for you. Amen. And praise God for it. But look, realize, look, they're human beings too. And what they need from us as a church is to sometimes come alongside of them, and like Onesiphorus, in how many things he ministered unto me. We should serve them. And look, and it says in how many things, there's several ways that you sitting in this room can minister to your pastor and your pastor's wife. Let me give you some ideas. Number one, you just ought to pray for your pastor. Amen. You ought to pray for him, pray for his wife, pray for his family. And look, they pray for you. Don't worry. But look, you ought to pray for them. Because look, our church is accomplishing great things for God. But why is that? It's because a man like the Apostle Paul would say, you know what? I labored more abundantly than they all. It's because, look, our pastor works extremely hard to do what he's doing, to start the churches, to preach the word of God. Look, the news comes to him. He's not going to be ashamed about it. But look, you know what they need? They need prayer. They need us to pray for them. So what can you do, oh, church? You could just pray for them. That's how you can minister to them. Number two, you got to just remember their special days. Look, you got to take time. They remember your birthdays. They remember your anniversaries. You got to take time to remember their birthdays and anniversaries. You say, why are you talking about this? Why is it only about the pastor? No, it is about the cause of Christ. It's because, look, yeah, they are leading the charge, our pastor is, but you know what? It's the cause of Christ. It's because who else is preaching the gospel like we are in Sacramento? Who else is preaching the word of God in this whole nation like our churches? I mean, I don't think anyone else is doing it. Obviously, there's a few churches out there like ours who preach the truth, but look, it's because we have a leader who's willing to do the work for that. And look, we had to come alongside him and just do what we can to be a blessing to them, to minister sometimes unto them. Amen. So you should remember their special days. Remember their birthdays, anniversaries. Look, give them words of encouragement. Look, say, you know, Pastor, thank you for this. Thank you for being faithful for all these years. Thank you for being faithful even before you were a pastor and a pastor's wife to get us to where we are here today. Just give them words of encouragement. Look, and if the church does something nice for you, look, if the staff, if I or the staff do something nice for you, remember, realize, look, pastor and is the one who told us to do it. So make sure you thank them whenever the church does something nice for you. Look, and just look for areas where you can be a blessing. Amen. And look, because you have needs and they pray for your needs. But look, just get to the place where you can be a blessing to them. Look, find areas. We all need places where we need help. And you should cut them some slack. Amen. And realize, look, just they're human beings. And sometimes they may make mistakes. And look, they overlook all of our faults. Right. We should sometimes show them some slack. Because look, yeah, sometimes they may forget your birthday. They may forget to respond to that email. You know, but you know what? Just show them some grace. Amen. You see why? Because look, yeah, we're serving the Lord. And as a church, we should get it behind our leader. Say, you know what? Turn thee. I am with thee. I'm loyal. I'm here to help you in this cause. Go to 1 Timothy 5. If you go to 1 Timothy 5. You see, how can I be a blessing? You should minister to the man of God. Take time to pray for them. Pray for their family. Remember their special days. Give them words of encouragement. Thank them for what they've done. 1 Timothy 5, in verse number 17, notice what it says. It says, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of, notice these words, it says double honor. You know, the word honor means high respect or great esteem. It says the elders of the pastors that rule well, they should be counted worthy of double honor. It says especially they who labor, who work hard in the word and doctrine. So look, you got to find ways as a church member to minister to them. Count them worthy of double honor. Why? Because look, the truth is that it falls on him as the leader, as the pastor. He's the one leading the charge, following the Lord. Follow me as I follow Christ. Obviously, we're serving the Lord, but you know what? He's the leader, and you know what? It falls on him, and that's a great burden. And so you should just come alongside and just minister to the man of God. Go back to 2 Timothy 1, if you would, 2 Timothy chapter 1. You see, how can I further the cause of Christ by getting behind the pastor, the man of God? Well, you should stand with him. Decide not to quit. Be with him. Don't be ashamed of the preaching. Be loyal to the man. You should encourage him. Refresh him often by being obedient when he's not there, being faithful when he's not there. Number 3, you should minister to him. And number 4, you should be willing to be inconvenienced for the man of God. Look, we live in a day when people don't want to be inconvenienced. But you got to be willing to be inconvenienced for the man of God. I like Onesiphorus because there's something about him that really sticks out to me. Verse number 16, notice what it says again. And the Lord give mercy into the house of Onesiphorus. It says, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But notice what he does in verse 17. But when he was in Rome, notice what he does. It says, he sought me out very diligently. It says, notice, and found me. See, Onesiphorus was a man who actually went out of his way to diligently search for, look for the Apostle Paul. It says when he was in Rome, it says he sought me out very diligently and found me. See, Paul didn't show up to Rome and do what he could. Where's Onesiphorus? Let me look for him. Let me find him. No, Onesiphorus here is, hey, Paul's in Rome. Onesiphorus takes it upon himself to go out of his way to inconvenience himself to look for him, to search for him, for the Apostle Paul. It says, notice, and found me. Like every once in a while, look, you ought to just allow yourself to be inconvenienced for the man of God. And look, I'm sure it would have been easier for Onesiphorus to be like, well, I'm not in the ministry. I'm not in prison. I'm comfortable in my house. But you know, he was able to accomplish great things because a man like Onesiphorus was willing to go out of his way and search for the Apostle Paul. You know, why is that? Look, the Apostle Paul was a busy man. He was busy starting churches. He was busy being in prison. He was busy training men, preaching the word of God. He didn't have time to go out of his way to bend over backwards for this man. But Onesiphorus understood, you know what? This is a busy man. I need to go out. He's doing great things for the Lord. I need to go out of my way to find him, to minister to him, to help him, encourage him. And look, every once in a while, and look, thank God this weekend, our pastor went to New Jersey to preach at a conference there. I don't know how many, over 100 people were there. But look, thank God, you know, people out there like Brother Peter and several people, I'm sure they inconvenienced themselves. They went out of their way to set things up for our pastor, as they should. Amen. You know, because our pastor's busy. And thank God for people like that who are willing to inconvenience themselves for the man of God. But look, every once in a while, you know, you ought to just allow yourself to be inconvenienced for the man of God. Go if you would to Matthew 16, if you would to Matthew 16. And look, the Christian life is a life of inconvenience. Look, it's never convenient. When is it ever convenient to decide I'm going to be faithful to church 3 times a week? And if you say, well, I'm going to wait till it's a convenient time to go soul winning, you're never going to go soul winning. It is never convenient to put God first. But you know, that's what Jesus has asked us to do. And you say, well, I don't want to go to church because it's not convenient. Well, you know what? Join most people who are just too lazy to go to church. But if you see people who are faithful to the word of God, faithful to the house of God, faithful to soul winning, look, they're allowing themselves to be inconvenienced. And all we're asking you today is to allow yourself to be inconvenienced for the things of God. Matthew 16, look, verse number 24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, notice, if any man will come after me, verse 24, he says, notice, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, the Christian life, sadly, is a life of inconvenience. Jesus said, look, if you want to come after me, if you want to be a follower, a disciple, if you want to be called a Christian, it says, let him deny himself, notice, and take up his cross and follow me. You know, what is convenient? Convenient is fitting in well with a person's needs, activities, and plans. And look, and if you live your life for yourself with putting your life first, then yeah, the Christian life will always be an inconvenience to you. But look, you ought to just decide, I'm going to allow myself to be inconvenienced, to go out of my way for the man of God. Go to 2 Timothy 1, if you would, 2 Timothy 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And look, sometimes, look, our leader is going to come up and say, you know what? We have a soul winning push on Friday night, on Saturday, on Thursday night. There's this event. We've got to saturate the community for this event. But you know what? Let's get behind it. Sorry to inconvenience you with the Christian life, but you know what? If this is the cause, then let's get down for the cause. Amen. 2 Timothy 1, look at verse number 8. Again, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, notice, but be thou, notice what it says again, be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Understand what Paul is asking you to do. He says, hey, be inconvenienced. You be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. And look, yeah, we're asking you to be inconvenienced. We're asking you to be a partaker of those hard times. And you say, how can I, as a church member who's just sitting here, I'm not preaching the word of God. I'm not the one on the news. I'm not the one where people are looking to or against. Be a partaker. Amen. And come alongside the work of God that's being done. Amen. And join us. And join us because, look, we need the Onesiphoruses in this church to step up and say, you know what, I'm willing to get behind the things of God. And the truth is that every Paul needs an Onesiphorus. Every leader needs somebody to get behind them, to come alongside them, and to help them accomplish things for the Lord. Amen. And we see that Onesiphorus was a man who was blessed by the man of God. Verse 16, again, the Lord give mercy. Notice, it says, notice, unto the house of Onesiphorus. I like how the Apostle Paul, he's not just praying for one man. He says, you know, I want to pray for his family. I can imagine Onesiphorus, his whole family getting behind Paul, helping Paul. And what's a God that you, men would lead your families in this way where the man of God can say, you know, praise God for brother so-and-so who's leading his family in the right way. The Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. He was an encouragement and was not ashamed of my chain. He stood with the man of God. But when he was in Rome, notice, he sought me out very diligently. He was inconvenienced for the man of God and found me. The Lord granted to him that he would find mercy of the Lord in that day. And then notice, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. And then Paul ends this description of this man by telling Timothy this. He says, notice, thou knowest very well. See, it was no secret about the type of man that Onesiphorus was. And look, Paul told Timothy, look, all thou knowest that all they which be in Asia are turned away from me. And he says, look, Onesiphorus, look, you know, Timothy, You know the kind of man that this was. Thou knowest very well that this man served me, ministered unto me, stood with me, encouraged me. You know that this is the kind of man who he was. And here's the thing, Verity Baptist Church. Look, Paul knew who he was. Timothy knew who he was. So my question for you is, you know, who are you? Are you the Onesiphorus? And thank God there are people who are like Onesiphorus, who pastor can say, you know what, this man, he's standing with me. He encourages me. He's faithful. He's loyal. He ministers unto me. Thank God that we do have people in this church. But for the rest of you, the truth is, look, we need you. Because look, great things are being done. But you know, greater things can be done, but we need you to step up. Amen. And he says, look, thou knowest very well. So my question to you is that your testimony? You know, can your pastor say, look, I know this person very well, that they're with me, that they minister to me, they're an encouragement unto me, that they're with me? And if it's not, then look, we need you. Get on board. Why? Because we're doing great things for God. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning, God. Thank you for our church and for this man Onesiphorus, Lord, and for the blessing that he was to the Apostle Paul. And I just thank you for our man of God, Lord, our pastor, who's leading the way for us and who's doing great things for the Lord. I just pray that we continue as a church to do mightier works in the future, but it's only done through people stepping up, people in this room who are willing to step up and come alongside the man of God and help him and encourage him and minister to him and help him do great things for God. And just help us all as a church to be united around what's being done here, God. And I just pray that you be with them as they're in the East Coast. And as they travel back this week, just give them safety as they come back, God. Lord, I just thank you for our church. We love you. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.